If you'd like to follow along, the scripture reading this morning will be from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness, or what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Adam Pogue, and it is a blessing to stand before you this morning as the chosen evangelist to work with the Broadview Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to meet you and have others amongst us to worship God and praise God. And remember Jesus' sacrifice this morning. I want to make a quick note before we start our lesson together. I've had in the announcements before services start that we are now able to record the sermons, and we're also able to put them on CDs. So I just want to let everybody know that if you would ever want a CD for yourself or to give to someone else that you think might benefit from it, then please let any one of us know, and we'll be glad to make a copy for you, as well as you can go on our website. And you can also listen to the sermons and look at the articles and everything there as well. So I just want everybody to know that and have that available to you if you so wish. This morning, I hope you had the opportunity to grab one of the handouts, the bulletins that we have. If you'll open to the inside, you'll see the outline for this morning's sermon as well as tonight. This morning's lesson that I'd like to study with us is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. You know, the multitude of churches that are started by men today, there's a lot of them. And they have a lot of influence on the world that we live in, the community that we live in. And with all of those different churches started by men, it's so easy for us as Christians to fall in the trap of becoming more like them, even talking more like the churches of men around us. For instance, using the very word of fellowship. Do we actually understand what that word means, or do we use it incorrectly? Some examples I have for us this morning is in the word fellowship. Many people have fellowship halls. Is that really the way that we are to understand the word fellowship? Another incorrect usage is some of us say, let us come together and eat and have fellowship with one another. That's a way that many in our community, many religious groups, use the word fellowship. Another way that fellowship is used is you might say, thank you, God, for the time that we have to fellowship one another. Sometimes we hear that in prayers. But is that the correct usage of the word fellowship? Another way that we can use it is some might say, well, that everyone that calls themselves Christians are in fellowship. No matter the denomination you choose, as long as you're a Christian, we're all in fellowship. Those are not the most correct ways to use the word fellowship. And maybe we've just heard it from a lot of friends in the religious world around us, and we just think that's the way it's supposed to be used. Another way that it might be used, it might be a little bit closer, but maybe still not right on, is some say that fellowship is, well, simply one who pleases God. If you please God, then you must be in fellowship with Him. Some will even say that God looks with favor upon those who He is in fellowship with. These two might be a little bit closer to what God really means as fellowship, but still not correct the way the New Testament would have us to understand the word fellowship. Fellowship is one of those words that many of us may use and throw around, but may not understand the exact meaning behind it. But as we know that words are vehicles for thoughts and ideas. Now we need to make sure that we understand exactly what God wants us to understand that the word fellowship means. And that's what I want us to study this morning. I want us to look in the Bible, and I want us to understand exactly what this word means, exactly what God intended us to understand it. So number one in our notes this morning, our first point, we'll simply ask the question, what is fellowship? And in particularly, what is fellowship with God? First, let's define fellowship. If we look in the Greek word to find out where the word fellowship came from the Greek word of koinonia. And if we look at the definition of what does koinonia mean, that means communion. It means fellowship. It means a sharing in common. And I've gotten this definition from Vine's Concise Dictionary of the Bible to help us understand what that word means. Maybe we would more importantly understand it if we put it in common terms. For common terms, it means joint participation toward a common goal. Maybe that's a little bit easier for us to understand what koinonia means, or fellowship really means. Joint participation with a common goal. Maybe for illustration purposes, if I break that a little further, that'll help us. Maybe we understand in sports such as football, my favorite sport. We understand that while two teams are against each other, they're not in fellowship. But it should be that everyone on a single team should all be in fellowship because they all have the same goal of defeating the other team. Likewise, the local fellowship of Christians, all of us here in this room, we can be in fellowship because we should all have a joint participation toward a common goal. Our common goal should be to glorify God. We should all have a common goal of wanting to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should all have a common goal of making it to heaven for all of eternity. So that is what fellowship means. We often use it so many different ways, but we need to understand what God wants us to use it for. Again, fellowship does not mean just a Christian who follows God. It does not just mean that God has favor upon you, and that's fellowship. Fellowship with God is a Christian acting jointly with Him for a common goal. For a common goal. Let's look at two different goals that we have in common with God. The first goal is to glorify Him. Now you might think about this, how can God glorify Himself? How can He work in common with us for that goal? Consider with me just for a minute back in the Old Testament. The Israelites, how did the Israelites glorify God? They glorified Him by offering animal sacrifices. The only way that they could glorify God is if He told them what to sacrifice. That is working in a team, working together. So if we understand that, how can we glorify Him today? Well, we can glorify Him today by working with Him as we take His word and we take His commandments and we follow them as He prescribes. That's how we can glorify Him today. Working with Him, with His Word, and with His commandments to glorify Him. There's another goal that we should have in common with God, and that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God is something that comes when we work with Him. We need to glorify Him. We need to always have a goal of spreading the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. This isn't something that we should just keep to ourselves. God doesn't want us to just keep it to ourselves. Jesus died for each and every one of us. Not one of us is more important than the other in the eyes of God. So we should have a common goal of spreading the gospel that His Son died upon the cross. Furthermore, fellowship with God can only be accomplished when the Christian is without sin. When there is no sin in your life. Because as we know, God has no fellowship. God has no likeness with darkness. We'll cover that more in just a few moments. First, I want us to turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Hopefully you're already there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read again verses 14 through 16. This will help us to understand further exactly what God means by fellowship. Help us understand on more common terms how we can apply it to ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 tells us, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. I want to break down these 5 points that we just read to help us understand more about fellowship. What God wants us to understand, as it's a common term that so many use incorrectly, let's understand. Starting in verse 14, we read, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? These are rhetorical questions. We understand easily the answers to these. Righteousness is God. Righteousness is without sin. Lawlessness is sin. So what fellowship has good and evil together? None. We understand that. Let's continue on. Verse 14, what communion has light with darkness? Again, light is God. Darkness is sin. Darkness is Satan. It says, what communion? Remember we looked at that definition of koinonia? Talked about communion. Fellowship, a common goal. So what common goal has light and darkness? Again, we easily understand none. Verse 15, what accord has Christ with Belial? Well, first let's understand who is Belial. If you're not familiar with Belial, let me help you understand that by saying Belial is a nickname that the Israelites, the Jews, gave to Satan. So if you understand that Belial is Satan, then let's answer this question. What accord has Christ with Satan? Obviously, again, we understand none. No accord between them. They don't have a common goal. Remember the definition? A common goal to work together. Christ and Satan obviously don't work in a same goal. Don't work in communion, accord, koinonia. Verse 15. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? Some Bibles translate that word part as portion. Whether your Bible says part or portion, what that means is an inheritance. So if we understand that, it's saying, what inheritance has a believer with an unbeliever? None. Hopefully our inheritance at the end of this life as a Christian will be in heaven. If you're an unbeliever, your inheritance will not be heaven. It'll be in the lake of fire with Satan. So what portion, what part, what inheritance do we have with an unbeliever? None. We're starting to understand this a little more. Verse 16 will end with this final fifth point that we read here in these verses. It says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Again, we understand that the temple of God for the Israelites would have nothing in common. No common goal with idols. As idols represented everything against God. Worshipping things created by men instead of by God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. I want us to read these because it helps us understand again on a more common terms what fellowship means. It means common. We read all these verses and we understand there's nothing in common here. Nothing. Fellowship is a concept, again, that many religious people misuse. But mainly that's just because of their lack of knowledge. Maybe because they think it's too deep and difficult to understand. But if we, as we've looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, hopefully we understand its true meaning. We understand that fellowship with other Christians in a local church makes us co-workers. That's easy to understand. Somebody working together, co-workers. So as Christians, we all have fellowship to work together. Likewise, fellowship with God can be thought of as being a co-worker with God. That may be hard to understand because we understand that we're not worthy to even speak to God in prayer. We're not even worthy to have our sins remitted for us. But God tells us that fellowship with Him is us being co-workers with Him. Again, a common goal. As I noted a little earlier in our lesson, fellowship is not a fellowship hall. The word fellowship is not all denominations of believers coming together. Fellowship is not just us socially eating together somewhere after services. Many times the term fellowship is used to describe social eating, but as we're beginning to understand, that's really a poor substitute for the word fellowship that God wants us to understand. Fellowship is a term that means we are a team. sharing a common goal with God. Now that we understand what God means by having fellowship, we need to understand how extremely important it is for us to have fellowship with God. It's not just something that we might want to get. It's not just something that we hope we get. It's something that we all need to have for our salvation. Fellowship with God cannot be accomplished, though, if we have sin in our lives. And I said that a little earlier. That if a Christian has sin in his life, or if you're not a Christian, you can have no fellowship. And that's what I want to look at with you right now. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we read, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So we need to understand that if we have sin in our lives, that tears us apart from fellowship with God. If we continue to have sin in our daily lives, we cannot be on the same team. Because we don't have the same philosophy as God. We don't have the same goals anymore. We're thinking worldly thoughts instead of things that God would have us to think about. But thankfully, because of God's love, that doesn't have to be the end of it. Fellowship is something that we can regain. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 continues to tell us, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." What a great thing. We're all sinners. But as we strive to be in fellowship with God, to be in a common goal with Him, we can have our sins forgiven. When our sins are forgiven, that is when we can come back into fellowship with Him. Back on the same team. Back with a same common goal. So I want us to look at those two ways. Two ways that we can come back into fellowship with God. The first way that we can regain fellowship is going to be confession and repentance. We'll read about that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We understand that for those of us who have already enjoyed fellowship with God through baptism, through the remission of the release of our sins, we have a way to regain our fellowship with Him, and that is through confession. What confession actually means is to speak the same thing. In other words, think of it like this. Think of a criminal down at the police station. If they've been charged with something and then they confess, then what are they doing? They're speaking the same thing that the police has already charged them with. They're just saying the same thing. And it's the same thing for us as Christians. God already knows the sin that's in our life. But if we confess it, then we speak the same thing that God already knows is in our life. But confession and repentance can help us to regain our fellowship with God if you are a Christian. Confessing our sins to God should lead us to a repentance, or a walking away from sin in our life. And upon our confession and repentance, we will be restored to a fellowship with God. That's how the Christian regains his fellowship. What about if you're not a Christian? Do you have an opportunity to come in a fellowship, to be on the same team as God? Certainly you do. And that comes by looking at Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, says Ananias speaking to Saul before he becomes the name of Paul. It says, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Remember earlier I said that we cannot be in fellowship if we have sin in our life. So if you're not a Christian, how do you become on the same team, have the same common goal as God? You do it exactly as Ananias told Saul here. "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Washing away all of your sins allows you to come into fellowship with God. Baptism. We need to understand, if you have not been baptized, you're not in fellowship with God. This is something so important to remember. What does baptism do for you? wipes away your sins. Just as Acts 22:16 tells us, as does many other New Testament verses. And it's only then that you can come into fellowship. Fellowship with God can be gained by anyone who is willing to lay down his life of sin and pick up the life of Christ and have your sins remitted. I've said this word a lot today, fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. I really want us to understand what it means. I hope that reading 2 Corinthians and looking at these things have helped us. In case they haven't, like a good teacher, I want to tell you again, and in conclusion, I want to tell you one more time so we understand. Because so many times in this world we use the word fellowship, even we are guilty of incorrectly using it. But let's look at what it again is not. Fellowship is not a word for a building. Many of our denominational friends will use that. It is not a word to describe Christians eating together. Sometimes even we can be guilty of saying that even in our prayers before we partake of food together. But it's not just eating. It's not just us socializing, having fun, talking, eating together. It's definitely not a name for a building. Let's look at what it is. We have two ways to regain it. What it is a teamwork. A communion, a fellowship with God. If you're a Christian and there's sin in your life, there's an easy way to regain it. That is to confess and repent. Furthermore, at the end of each service, whether it be me or someone else giving us a lesson, we always have at the very end a time of invitation. We always say, if you're a Christian and there's sin in your life and you'd like to confess it, now is the time. Understand that that's not the only way. The only time that you need to confess something openly is if you have sinned against your brother or sister in this room. Or if you have sinned openly in the community. No, if you're a Christian and you have something that is a sin between you and God, then just take it to Him. Take it to Him this afternoon. Take it to Him in prayer and confess and repent away from that sin in your life. That will allow you to regain your fellowship, regain your communion with God. Again, a way to gain it, if you've never had it, for the lost, be baptized. God can have no sin in His life. God cannot be in communion on the same team as anyone that has sin. So this morning, if you're not a child of God, know that there is no way you can be on the same team, have the same goals as God. But there's an easy fix for that, and that's baptism. So this morning, as we study together the word fellowship, we understand what it's not. Hopefully we understand now what it is. If we can help you this morning to regain or gain your fellowship, regain you being on the same team, regain having the same goals as God, then let that need be known now, and we'll help you in any way that we can as we stand and as we sing. Won't you come?